3 hours after my flight landed in Peshawar, I was sitting on shredded upholstery in the back seat of a smoke-filled taxicab. My driver, a chain-smoking, sweaty little man who introduced himself as Ghulam, drove nonchalantly and recklessly, averting collisions by the thinnest of margins, all without so much as a pause in the incessant stream of words spewing from his mouth. "Terrible what is happening in your country, Yar. Afghani people and Pakistani people, they are like brothers, I tell you. Muslims have to help Muslims, so..." I tune him out, switch to a polite nodding mode. I remembered Peshawar pretty well from the few months Baba and I had spent there in 1981. We were heading west now on Jamrud Road, past the cantonment and its lavish, high-walled homes. The bustle of the city blurring past me reminded me of a busier, more crowded version of the Kabul I knew, particularly of the Koche Murgha, or chicken bazaar, where Hassan and I used to buy chutney-dipped potatoes and cherry water. The streets were clogged with bicycle riders, milling pedestrians, and rickshaws popping blue smoke, all weaving through a maze of narrow lanes and alleys. Bearded vendors draped in thin blankets sold animal skin lampshades, carpets, embroidered shawls, and copper goods from rows of small, tightly jammed stalls. The city was bursting with sounds. The shouts of vendors rang in my ears, mingled with the blare of Hindi music, the sputtering of rickshaws, and the jingling bells of horse-drawn carts. Rich scents, both pleasant and not so pleasant, drifted to me through the passenger window. The spicy aroma of pakora and the nihari Baba had loved so much, blended with the sting of diesel fumes, the stench of rot, garbage, and feces. A little past the red brick buildings of Peshawar University, we entered an area my garrulous driver referred to as Afghan Town. I saw sweet shops and carpet vendors, kebab stalls, kids with dirt-caked hands selling cigarettes, tiny restaurants, maps of Afghanistan painted on their windows, all interlaced with backstreet aid agencies. "Many of your brothers in this area, Yar. They are opening businesses, but most of them are very poor." He tisked his tongue and sighed. "Anyway, we're getting close now." I thought about the last time I had seen Rahim Khan, in 1981. He had come to say goodbye the night Baba and I had fled Kabul. I remember Baba and him embracing in the foyer, crying softly. When Baba and I arrived in the U.S., he and Rahim Khan kept in touch. They would speak 4 or 5 times a year, and sometimes Baba would pass me the receiver. The last time I had spoken to Rahim Khan had been shortly after Baba's death. The news had reached Kabul, and he had called. We had only spoken for a few minutes and lost the connection. The driver pulled up to a narrow building at a busy corner where 2 winding streets intersected. I paid the driver, took my lone suitcase, and walked up to the intricately carved door. The building had wooden balconies with open shutters. From many of them, laundry was hanging to dry in the sun. I walked up the creaky stairs to the second floor, down a dim hallway to the last door on the right. I checked the address on the piece of stationery paper in my palm. I knocked. Then, a thing made of skin and bone, pretending to be Rahim Khan, opened the door.